Right. This is part five of experiencing the Holy Spirit. Now, we've been studying about the Holy Spirit, how we can have a viable relationship with Him. He's part of the Trinity of God. He's part of the Godhead. Somehow we forget that. He sort of gets detached from the Father and from the Son. And he's sort of a person by himself. He is. He has his own personality, as God does, as Jesus did. But we sometimes forget that he is part of the Godhead. Everything God can do, he can do. And so if he's living within you, there are certain things that you have available to you that can make you successful for the Lord. If you will, turn to Galatians 5. There's a lot of things that's been said in the fifth chapter of Galatians about the Holy Spirit. But we want to look at three verses tonight, particularly. And you might be surprised what those three verses will tell you. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 16 through 18. This is Paul writing to the Galatian church, and Paul is experienced. He's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So what he's writing is absolutely true, even though if it may not make sense to us right now, but I want us to look at this. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That means you won't sin. Yeah. It's going to get even better. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. It has nothing to do with birthdays, folks. It has to do with this flesh. I like to blame birthdays, because or blame my wife. You know, I like to do that too, but not if I want to, you know, live comfortably at home and have to and sleep with one eye open because she's going to get revenge. But this flesh we live in does not like the Holy Spirit. In fact, it is opposed to the Holy Spirit. So actually, what's going on inside of us is sort of a tug of war. And when we get tired, or we get proud, or we get frustrated, or angry, all those things, the flesh wins. Now, the Holy Spirit is actually stronger than the flesh, but we have lived in this flesh all of our lives. And we have not lived with the Holy Spirit all of our lives. And so we're more comfortable in the flesh. And so sometimes we go there. Not because we want to, but we just go there. Now we come to verse 18. Now this verse took me a long time to think about it. Verse 18 says, but if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. If ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. What is sin? Sin is a violation of the law. But if we're not under the law, we can't sin. So why do we sin? Because we're not led of the Spirit at that particular moment. So if we are led of the Spirit, we are not under the law, because he is not going to take us any place that we shouldn't be. And on our own, pursuing our own desires, our own lusts, our own plans, we don't follow the Spirit. We don't walk in the Spirit. We walk in our own strength, because we have done that all of our life. You have always provided for yourself. From the time you were a baby. Why? Hey, every one of us has seen a baby get mad. You know, just a little baby. Not a big baby, but not a big baby. But just a little baby. We see them get mad. They turn red in the face and they start screaming because there's something they want that they're not getting. I've seen adults act like that. So have you. That's being in the flesh. You started out that way. Why should you expect to be anything different? Except the Holy Spirit has done something to us and in us. Remember? He walks with us, he walks in us, and he walks upon us. In other words, he anoints us for special service from time to time. So, you and I are engaged in a battle, and it's going to go on as long as we live. Our flesh is going to be fighting with the Holy Spirit for as long as we live. We're going to continue to have appetites. We're going to continue to have desires, to have lusts. And we're going to want to, our body is going to want us to satisfy those. When I get up in the morning, and you may experience this very same thing, I get up quite early, 4:45, something like that. And I take my blood sugar and I see what it is. And if it's low, if it's in 90 or below that, I know that I'm going to need something to eat, but I go ahead and take my insulin shot at that time. And then I have the hardest time not eating something before Connie gets up and we can have breakfast together. Because of lust. My body has lust. And you know, I can walk around, if I go through the kitchen, I think, man, I know what's in that refrigerator. I could eat some of that. And or you know, there's those Dunkin' sticks laying on the island. Dunkin' sticks, you know, those delicious little things that you can have with coffee or water, or anything in the world. So, we have lust. We have desires. We have appetites. And we also have the Holy Spirit in us that's saying, don't do that. And most mornings, the Holy Spirit wins. Most mornings. So, mentally, I know that which one I would like to win, this war that's going on in me. I'd like to see the Holy Spirit win it. And that is the desire of my heart, even though I know my heart is wicked. I want to see the Holy Spirit take control of my life. But he doesn't if I don't let him. And I have my own desires and appetites. I know that Paul did not live a sinless life, but Paul is probably the greatest apostle who ever lived, who ever walked this earth. He wrote more of the New Testament than any other apostle. And God used him in some very, very special ways, but even Paul, as perfect as he was and used of God as he was, he had something to say in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 21. Turn there if you will. Now this is, I'm not trying to give you an excuse, okay? But I want you to see that even as great a man as Paul, as godly a man as Paul, was fighting this same kind of battle. Romans 17, verses 14 through 21. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Yes, Paul, I am too. So are you. Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Paul is saying, I'm doing some of the things I don't expect you to do. I would hate to see you do them. And yet I'm doing those things. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. And the law of God is good. I know that. I know that everything I read in this book is right, is the truth. And I know that I should follow it. But there are times that I do not. And to me, this is a problem. It is to me personally, and I'm sure it is to some of you. We would like to live a different life than what we're actually living. So why can't we? Let's continue to look here. Verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Okay? Would I admit that I am a sinner? Yeah. I can't deny it. People have seen me sin. God has seen me sin. I have seen me sin. So I can't deny. Sin dwells in me. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Man, how does God expect us to be what he wants us to be if we can't overcome this flesh? If he's made us the way he has, and he has, how do we expect God to help us? Because he's the only one who can. Verse 19, for the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Okay, I'm not the one doing this, Lord. Nope, it's just the way you made me. It's all your fault. That's the way a lot of people think about it. I can't help it. You made me that way. Verse 21. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You know what that means, people? That means that we are always, always in the presence of evil, and it's not outside of us. She didn't make me do it. The devil didn't make me do it. I wanted to do it. It came from inside. That's where the battle is. And that's what breaks up churches. That's what breaks up families. From within. Not so much from without. So Paul is telling us that we have a nature within us that is like a parasite. It's sucking the good out of us. It's sucking the holiness out of us. It's sucking the righteousness out of us. And that's the sin nature. But the Holy Spirit is able to overcome that. And much of our lives, we live walking in the Spirit until something distracts us. Car cutting us off in traffic, and suddenly we're angry. And when the moment we become angry, that is pride. And pride is sin. And when we commit one sin, it's so easy to commit another sin right behind it. So we really need some kind of a relationship with the Holy Spirit that is tangible and real. And that's what we're going after tonight. The Holy Spirit within me has helped me find some sins repugnant. There are sins that used to be very attractive to me when I was younger. We get older and we think, well, okay, there are certain sins not going to be a problem anymore. It still is. This old mind, this old heart, still can lust, still can sin, still can take us out of God's will and for at the moment and take us into sin. So we need to know and we need to begin to establish some kind of a relationship with God's Holy Spirit that will help us. Remember what it said, but if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. There is a solution, and that's what I want us to look at tonight. I want us to look at the solution to that problem. We need to be aware of the part that the Holy Spirit plays in keeping us from willfully sinning. The Holy Spirit plays a part in keeping us from sin. The verse that we opened with tonight, Galatians 5, verse 16, says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And you might properly ask, how do we do that? I'd like to know. I know that you're not children. You're all adults. You are not without knowledge of the Bible. You have a knowledge of the Bible. You're mature Christians. Sometimes we're told to do things and we really don't know how to do them. I'm not computer literate. I don't know the techie stuff like Tim does, like AB does. I just don't. And when somebody tries to walk me through doing something, I'm lost. Now, they use words that I don't have a clue as to what they mean, which button I'm supposed to push. Our son gave us Fox Nation because of all the history that's in that particular channel. And so he gave my wife Fox Nation for Mother's Day and for a year. And great gift, you know, because there's just a lot of really good stuff there, even religious stuff. And so I want to get it on the TV rather than the computer. I tried programming the TV step by step. My son was walking me through it on the telephone. I kept pushing the wrong button. And the minute I did, things would disappear. And outwardly, I was being as polite as I can be. Inwardly, I was mumbling. And I finally gave up. I mean, we tried for, I don't know, what was it, an hour or more? And I finally had to give up. So, Dave, I appreciate all you're trying to do for us, but I'll just have to approach this at another time. And for 3 days, I mumbled to myself. Connie didn't know I was mumbling. I tried to. And finally,
I was talking to the Lord about it. I really was. Because everything we should be talking to the Lord about, everything that we're doing, we should be talking to Jesus. We should be talking to the Holy Spirit. We should be talking to God. And asking for their help, for their guidance. And so I was asking, and finally the Holy Spirit said, okay, today's the day you call Samsung. The biggest problem that we had is that we bought a Samsung Smart TV. And when we got all these steps put in on Fox Nation, then Samsung would not accept the application because I didn't have a Samsung account. And it was when I tried to establish a Samsung account that I got everything fouled up and couldn't do a thing. I called Samsung. The guy at Samsung said, Mr. McBride, let me just take control of your television and let me fix it for you. And so it took about 30 minutes, but he took control of the TV and he fixed it. And I said, you know, you are an answer to my prayers. And it gave me a great opportunity to witness to him about how God was using him and had given him abilities that I didn't have. And so even frustration and things get messed up can be turned to good if we let the Holy Spirit direct things. And the Holy Spirit told me that day, it's time. Let everything be done decently and in order. It was time. And so God resolved my problem. So, you know, that's how we should do everything. Let me ask a question. In fact, let me take you through a little scenario, and let's see if we can do this together. Who would you trust with your life? Who would you trust with your life? Remember Paul, on the way to Damascus. We've mentioned him this morning in Sunday school, and there's Paul on the way to Damascus. Suddenly, boom, light shines around about him. He's blind. A voice speaks to him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he surrenders to Christ, to Jesus at that point, but he is still blind. So imagine yourself blind, that you cannot see, and that you are walking on a trail that's only 2 feet wide. And that trail is not straight, it winds around. You are trying to get from where you are at to a place where there's a lot of rewards for you. But off that trail, it's a 90-foot drop. Who do you trust enough to direct you to travel that path from where you are to where you might want to be, to where the rewards are? Is there anybody you know that you could trust that? Now, you've got to keep walking. You can't stop. So they're going to have to give you directions in time enough that you know whether to step left, step right, step straight ahead. Who do you know that you would trust to give directions like that? Do you have a friend? Do you have a mate? Is there somebody that you would trust to do that? Folks, that's exactly what God is asking us to do, because we are blind to the future. And God wants the Holy Spirit to be that friend to direct us every step that we take, but we don't. So many times we just step out on our own and think, well, the path's got to be straight at this point. And maybe it goes off a little bit this way or that way. And if we don't have someone to direct us, we're going to fall that 90 feet and probably not survive. That's 9 stories. God gave us the Holy Spirit. He is in you.
He is talking to you. He is communicating with you. He's trying to communicate with you. And it's just a matter of listening. We heard Diana give a testimony that the Holy Spirit has told her to do certain things, and she put off doing them, and then when she finally did them, everything worked out fine. And I don't know why we are so reluctant to listen to the Holy Spirit and to think that we are so much smarter than He is. And yet that's the way we live our lives. I would like, if we were going to do what Paul recommended, we would ask the Spirit for directions for every single step that we took, but we don't. We have our own plans. We make the plans because we're so smart. We know so much. Our intelligence ratio, our IQ is way up here someplace. And God laughs. I am sure that you know, at Christmas time, Faye planned on having a hip replacement. I had no intention of having a knee replaced. Then all of a sudden, yes, then no. The Holy Spirit knows all these things about us. And we need to trust Him. We need to listen to Him. If we go through life asking every step we take, okay, God, or okay, Spirit, what do you want me to do? Should I take this step? Should I step this way or that way? We need to acknowledge that this body that we live in is at war with the Holy Spirit. And if we can get that thought in our mind and be aware of the fact that there is an enemy attempting to cause us to fail, and that is your body. That is your body. Your body does not want you to be successful. Oh, it wants you to satisfy all your appetites, but it does not want you to succeed. Your body wants you to fail. It's God that wants you to succeed, and it's God who has given us the Holy Spirit to lead us. Remember verse 17 of Galatians 5? The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. I don't like to think of myself as bad. You probably don't either. You look in the mirror and say, oh, what a wicked guy that is, or what a wicked woman that is. No, that's not what we do. You think, I look okay. My hair is combed. My nose is in the middle of my face where it belongs. I don't like to think of myself as wicked, and yet I am, and so are you. I don't want any of you to know how wicked I am, and I'm sure you don't want me to know how wicked you are. It's a secret we keep inside. Our body keeps that secret. Most of the time, we have a certain element of pride. That's why we wear to church sometimes some of the things we wear. We want to look nice. I'm not going to come in my bare feet, okay? I'm going to wear something on my feet. Number one, I've got some ugly toenails. We've all got secrets. Things we don't want anybody to know. Things that we think only we know. But we forget. God knows. Jesus Christ knows. There at the right hand of God making intercession for us. And
this fella inside? The Holy Spirit knows. When we look in the mirror, most of the time, we don't think, I'm so glad people can't see what's inside. We think, I look okay, I'm acceptable, I'm a good guy. That's pride. That's pride. And the Holy Spirit wants to take that away so that we will be trusting Him and not that person in the mirror. That person in the mirror is going to get us into trouble. That person in the mirror is not totally honest. That person in the mirror will lie to us. I want to look back for just a minute at Galatians 5, 16 through 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, lest whatever you may will, these things do. Somehow this got messed up. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. People, that's our salvation. Not to be under the law, but to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit of God. This church needs to move forward under the leading of God's Holy Spirit. It may not make sense to us. It may seem impossible to us. But God is never going to ask us to do something that He won't help us to accomplish. God won't ask us to do something that can't be done. We just have to have faith as to whether or not it's God or whether or not it is this fleshly body that we live in. The Spirit is actually stronger than the flesh. That's how we got saved. There was a moment when we yielded ourself, our personality, our will to Jesus Christ. We knew we couldn't fix the sin. We knew we couldn't do anything about it. And so we called out to Jesus and we yielded our will and said, okay, Jesus, save me, take me, clean me up. And He did through the Holy Spirit. And so that Holy Spirit wants to make you successful. He wants to take you far beyond your expectations. I did some reading a while back. It's been a few years now, about early childhood during the organizing of this country. John Adams' daughter read the Bible at 4 years old. And children then accomplished so much more. But society started saying, oh, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, or we can't do this, the child's not capable of doing this. The child can do so much more than what we have expectation for. We can do so much more than what we have expectation for if we let God do it through us. And that's the whole thing. Let's let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do in our lives. To walk in the flesh requires no effort on our part. To walk in the Spirit does require an effort because we have to do something that is foreign to us. We have to put ourselves under the control of God's Spirit. We have to yield our will. We have to yield our pride, our sin, to let God take control and be all that He wanted. Question, are you living your life in the flesh, or are you living your life through your soul? Most of us would say both, wouldn't we? I would, if you were just asking, are you living by your flesh, or are you living by your soul? Well, I'm trying to live by my soul, but I'm doing some of both. That's a problem. More of a problem than you ever imagine. You know why? Jesus said we can't do that. Jesus said we cannot do that. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And what did I just tell you I'm trying to do? What are you trying to do? You're trying to be allegiant to two masters, the flesh and the soul. Now, I know that I don't want to be considered a fool, and I'm sure that none of you want to be considered a fool. But if we do not believe the Word of God, what does that make us? It makes us a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And if we're not going to believe the Word of God, we're going to say there is no God. Walking in the Spirit means that we are seeking with all of our heart for the things that God wants us to do. And that's why we want to have this planning meeting next Saturday. Some of you, God has given an insight as to what He wants this ministry to do. And we need that input. We need to know so that we can do it. We can do the things that God wants, so that we can follow the Spirit in our normal day-to-day ministry here at Coastal Shores Baptist Church. Walking in the Spirit means that we're seeking God's will. My soul wants to follow the Spirit. But when I get tired or lazy, I tend to follow my flesh. I don't know if you have that problem, but I do. I'd like to say that I'm a perfect example to follow, but I am the last person you want to follow. You want to follow Jesus. You don't want to follow anybody on this earth. You want to follow Jesus. And the only way you can do that is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Next week we are going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, but we're not getting there tonight. If we remain under the control of the Spirit, we will not get involved in any sin. Now, do you still sin? I don't expect an answer, because I know what it is. Because I know what it is for me. And so we need to really commit ourselves to seeking to follow, to walk in the Spirit, that we might not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It can be done. God wouldn't have asked us to do that. He wouldn't have ordered us to do that through Paul if it were not possible. So we're going to try together, arm in arm, to get there for all of us. And we have right now no idea of what can be accomplished in the power of the Holy Spirit. As long as we follow the Spirit, we will not be subject to sin. I'd love to get sin out of my life. It's when we stop looking for ways to serve the Lord that we get involved in our own lives, our own desires, our own lusts, and that leads us to sin. The devil wants to trip up each one of us. He does not want you to be successful, so he's going to do anything he can to make you fail. Just because you have some adversity in your life doesn't mean that God is not working in you. He's doing that to separate you from the world, where you have no place to turn but to Him. And that's where we all have to be. We all have to come to the place where we cannot trust ourselves. We do not trust ourselves. We do not put any confidence in our own ability, but we trust Jesus Christ. We trust God's Holy Spirit within us to take us through. If we stop walking in the Spirit, we're going to sin. But if we continue walking in the Spirit, we are not going to sin and we are going to defeat the devil. Which one do you want to serve? Which one do you want to serve? You want to serve the devil? You were doing that before Jesus came along. So I want to serve Jesus Christ. And I feel that that's the desires of your heart too. So let's together move forward in the footprints of the Holy Spirit leading us. Sin is always close by, always. So is the Spirit. Which one would you choose? It's your choice. Father, thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us, to live in us. Father, help us to understand how to yield our will to Him. Help us, Father, to refrain from sin. Help us to see sin as you see it, as repulsive and ugly. And then, Father, keep us from that through the power of your Holy Spirit. May we live in His power and not our own. And Father, we will praise you because Jesus sent him to take his place. He came, he's here, he's available. And Father, we know that. Help us to take advantage of his availability. Help us to live in him. And Father, we will praise you for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.